We'll read the first 13 verses of Proverbs 4. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. The book of Proverbs is devoted to the great subject of wisdom. Listen to the words of Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Or Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is so important because God is wise, and Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Colossians 2 verse 3, in whom, that is Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. Wisdom appears in the book of Proverbs as a woman, because the Hebrew word for wisdom is feminine. And this woman cries in the streets, she utters her voice, and she calls fools to listen to her. And then we have the very beautiful 8th chapter of Proverbs, where we learn that wisdom dwells eternally with Jehovah God. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. And then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Proverbs 8, 22 and 23, and also verse 30. So Jesus Christ is the eternal wisdom of God. And just as God cannot be separated from his wisdom, so the Father cannot be separated from the Son. Before we consider what wisdom is in us, we first of all consider what wisdom is in God. Wisdom is one of God's many attributes or his divine perfections. God is perfectly, infinitely, and unchangeably good, holy, righteous, and powerful. And God is also perfectly, infinitely, and unchangeably wise. Scripture calls him the only wise God, our Savior. And wisdom is linked to or related to knowledge But it is not the same thing as knowledge. God has perfect, complete, and exhaustive knowledge of all things, past, present, and future. That's his omniscience. And we have some knowledge of some things, but we are not omniscient. And a person could have knowledge on a wide range of subjects, including even theology, and not be wise. God has both knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of and application of knowledge. A wise person knows how to live, how to act, how to behave, how to speak, according to the knowledge that he has. And because God is wise, he always lives and acts and behaves and speaks according to his infinite knowledge of omniscience. In addition, wisdom is adaptation of knowledge. It is to adapt the knowledge that you have to the highest possible goal or purpose, which goal or purpose is the glory of God. And therefore, to give a definition of wisdom, God's wisdom is that perfection of his divine being, according to which he is able to apply and adapt himself and all things to his own glory as the highest goal. So God's ability to adapt and apply all things to the highest goal, which is his glory. And so if wisdom in God is the application and adaptation of all things to the goal of his own glory, then it follows that wisdom in us is the application and use and adaptation of all things to the goal of God's glory. And so wisdom in us is our ability, more or less, to adapt and use and apply the knowledge that we have in order to glorify God. That's why we read in Proverbs 1 verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And Proverbs 9 verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Without the fear of God, which is godly reverence for him, in which we avoid sin and seek his glory, without the fear of God, we are and will behave as the greatest fools. That's why the Bible calls the atheist a fool, for example. He doesn't have the fear of God. He doesn't live according to the fear of God. He is a fool. Now, the book of Proverbs uses several different words which more or less mean the same thing to describe this idea of wisdom. There's the word that we have in our King James Version translated as wisdom. We explained that already. Then there's the word understanding. That word has the idea of discernment or perception or insight. And then there's the word prudence, and that has the idea of sensibleness. The prudent man or the understanding man or the wise man is presented in the book of Proverbs as a godly example. We are to be like him. Jesus Christ was the ultimate wise, understanding, and prudent man. And on the other hand, in the book of Proverbs, we have words that describe the opposite of wisdom, which is folly. And they're usually translated with the word fool. And there are different words for fool in the Old Testament. But the basic idea of a fool in the Old Testament is someone who is devoid of moral or religious sensibility. Someone who is sluggish or brutish or spiritually dull. And then there's the word simple. And a simple person in Proverbs is a gullible or a suggestible person, one who is easily led astray. And so folly or foolishness in the scriptures is not an intellectual problem, but a spiritual or a religious problem. When the Bible talks about a fool, it does not mean someone who is uneducated or unlearned, but one who lacks moral judgment. And that's why in Proverbs, and in this lecture this evening, and in the Bible in general, the word fool is not intended as an insult. Matthew 5:22, Jesus says, "But whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." But Jesus calls the scribes and Pharisees fools in Matthew 23:17. He calls his own disciples on the road to Emmaus fools in Luke 24:25, and Paul calls believers fools in 1 Corinthians 15:36. And so the Bible does not prohibit the use of the word fool. To call someone a fool merely descriptively is permissible if the intention is to warn that person and to correct that person and to lead that person out of folly into wisdom. But if the intention is simply to vilify that person, to insult that person out of an attitude of hatred and malice, then that's sin. So we ought not to call someone a fool lightly. We'll have questions at the end of the speech, but yes, would be. Now, there are five main kinds of fools in the Bible, because there are five basic words for fool in the Old Testament scriptures. First of all, there is the simple fool, and often that word is simply translated as simple. This kind of a fool lacks discernment and is easily deceived. He makes decisions without thinking of consequences and therefore gets into difficulties. Proverbs 22 verse 3, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Then there is the silly fool. And the idea here is of arrogance and stubbornness. This kind of a fool is arrogant and determined to follow his own way, and he rarely listens to advice, which gets him into trouble. Proverbs 12 verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Then there is the unreasonable or the sensual fool. And he lives for pleasure and does not listen to the warnings of others, and thus brings ruin upon himself and others by his foolish words and actions. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs 18:6 and 7. Fourth, there is the scorning fool, or the scorner. He scoffs against parents, authorities, and even God. He willfully persists in sin despite rebukes and punishments, and his end without repentance will be destruction. Proverbs 15:12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. And fifth and finally, there is the stubborn fool. He rejects God completely and entirely, and none can reprove or correct him. Proverbs 17:21, he that begetteth a fool doeth it unto his own sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Some of these fools are even believers, but there's progression from the simple fool all the way down to the stubborn fool, deeper and deeper into folly. And you'll notice one of the common traits of all of these fools is they do not listen to advice. They do not follow godly instruction. So true wisdom begins with God. And if we are wise, we will live in the reality of God's being, his existence, and we will adapt ourselves to that great reality and all of the truths which come forth from God in his revelation. We will adapt all things, therefore, in our lives to that great goal of serving God and bringing glory to him. Wisdom, therefore, is a very practical issue. The issue is this: how can I, as a believer in situation A, B, or C, use, apply, and adapt the knowledge that I have so that I act according to that knowledge in a way that glorifies God? That's the point of the book of Proverbs. You might call the book of Proverbs a book of case studies on wisdom and folly, written by Solomon as a book of instruction for his children who needed to learn about wisdom and folly. So read the book of Proverbs that way. Here is how a wise man behaves in this situation. And here is how a wise man lives in this sphere of his life. With respect to marriage, with respect to children, with respect to work, or food, or drink, or speech, or worship, or many other things. And the lesson then is, follow the example of the wise, prudent, sensible man. And then there's the warning. Here is how the fool behaves in this situation. Here's how the fool lives in this sphere of his life with respect to marriage and children and work and food and drink and speech and worship and many other things. And the lesson there is, take warning from and avoid the example of the foolish, simple, and stupid man. Remember, the fool is not an idiot. We don't use the word stupid here in the sense of a moron or an idiot. We use it here in the sense of someone without moral judgment. He is often very intelligent, the fool. He might even be highly educated. He might even have a degree or a PhD or several PhDs. But he does not use the knowledge that he has. He does not apply the knowledge that he has. He does not adapt the knowledge that he has to the glory of God. In fact, he lives contrary to what he knows is true. Think again of the atheist. The Bible tells us that the atheist knows that there is a God. God has written that knowledge on his heart. Romans 1 tells us that the atheist suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And so the atheist lives as a fool, refusing to adapt his life to the ultimate knowledge of God, refusing to live to the glory of God, and thus he ends in destruction. Because he's a fool. Not because he's unintelligent, but because he's a fool. On the other hand, the wise man is not necessarily educated. He may have very little formal education. He might not have graduated, as the Americans say, from high school. But he knows God. He knows the ultimate reality, which is God. He understands something about God from the scriptures, and he lives according to what he knows. And thus he's wise. And thus wisdom and folly are moral or ethical qualities, not intellectual ones. Now I want to give you three things that you should take into account when you want to make a wise decision to apply this to concrete situations. The first thing you need to make a wise decision is knowledge. Knowledge. If wisdom is the right application, use, and adaptation of knowledge, you need knowledge to make a wise decision. And the reason the fool goes wrong here is because he does not take the time to acquire the necessary knowledge to assess the situation to make a wise decision. The foolish person is often impetuous. He does things without much forethought. He is impatient. He doesn't want to do the difficult work of getting all of the facts he needs to make his decision and then to analyze those facts to make a sensible decision. And he doesn't ask advice of other people who would have the knowledge he needs. Or if he does ask advice from other people, he rarely takes that advice. A wise man will assess the situation he is in. How much time do I have for this problem? How much money do I have? How many people do I need and how many people do I have? What are the possible consequences of route A as opposed to the consequences of route B? How will this affect this person in my life, my wife, my husband, my children, members of the church, whoever it might be? And how might this affect this other person in my life? And how will this affect me? And what possible consequences will there be if I do this? And if I do this, will this affect my ability to do something else, which is perhaps more important than doing this? And how will this affect my duty toward God and my neighbor? And above all, the wise man asks this question: how will this serve me to glorify God? Will it serve me to glorify God? The fool never asks that question, or at least never seriously considers that question. The fool thinks only about the short term gains for himself of that particular route. This seems good to me because it makes me feel good. I think that I will have a short term benefit from this. He doesn't consider the impact that his choice will have on others, and he often acts rashly and impetuously, acting now and thinking later, or acting now and regretting what he did later. So knowledge, the first thing you need to make a wise decision. The second thing you have to take into account is realism, or reality. Realism means that you live in the real world, that you reckon with reality, you do not live in a fantasy world, and that you adapt your behavior and your decisions to reality. Not what you hope reality is, or what you want it to be, but what it really is. Paul calls this sober-mindedness. Titus 2 verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. A foolish person has all kinds of unrealistic expectations which lead him to make foolish and rash decisions because he refuses to adapt to reality. For example, if the reality is that you do not have £1,000, you do not buy something that costs £1,000, especially if you have no way of paying that back in a reasonable amount of time. That's reality. Or, if you do not have the qualifications for a certain job, reality tells me I should not apply for that job, or I should make an effort to get the qualifications and then apply for the job, but I should not then say, I am not going to work in this job because it's beneath me. That is not reacting properly to reality. Reality will tell you that there are certain obstacles in the way to your plan, let's say. You do not then pretend that they do not exist and then just go forward anyway, but instead you make a wise plan to overcome the obstacle if that's possible, or you change your plan. The fool carries on regardless, then finds himself stuck because he failed to take reality into account. And the third thing you need to make a wise decision is discernment, or the ability to make good observations about situations and about people. The reason people say foolish things and do foolish things is that they do not pay attention, and therefore they do not know how to interact with people because they have not taken the time to understand a person's personality, his likes or dislikes, his interests, his struggles, his difficulties, his strengths or his weaknesses, which is why a foolish person will often blurt out foolishness, will say foolish things, will say tactless and inappropriate and awkward things because they have not been paying any attention. They have not been listening. They haven't learned how to read the situation that they are in. And that's often how you can spot a foolish person. He has no tact. He embarrasses himself and others. He cannot get on with other people in the family, in work, in school, or in the church. He cannot manage money. He cannot keep a job. He cannot control his tongue. He is impressionable and easily led astray. Those are all signs of foolishness being bound up in the heart of a person. And that person may be a believer. He may even have a strong and good grasp of theology, but he lacks something. He lacks the ability to use and apply and adapt the knowledge that he has. He cannot understand what is appropriate or inappropriate behavior or speech in any given situation or circumstance. And that's why we, all of us, need to read the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs sets it forth in very clear language what a fool does and what a wise person does. And that's why we ought to prioritize the reading of the book of Proverbs and prioritize this petition in our prayers: Lord, give me wisdom. Now, of course, Proverbs has got 31 chapters, and you could read it many times through and categorize it and so on. I will give you some examples which I have selected from reading the book of Proverbs recently. Wisdom and heeding advice. The wise man understands that he does not know everything, and therefore he asks for and heeds advice. The fool does not understand this, and therefore does not ask for advice or does not listen to the advice that he's given. Proverbs 1 verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 12 verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. 13:18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. 17:16, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Wisdom and speech. The wise man knows how to adapt his speech to the situation he is in, but the fool says the wrong thing at the wrong time or blurts out the thoughts of his heart. 12:13, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. 15:28. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Wisdom and work. The wise man knows that if he does not want to work, he shall not eat. The wise man knows that he needs to make provision for the days ahead, and therefore he looks for and finds work, even if that work is not his preferred work. The fool refuses to adapt to reality, makes excuses why he should not or why he cannot work. Lots of examples in Proverbs. Chapter 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, nor overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Chapter 24. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Chapter 26. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Wisdom and forward planning. The wise man plans for the future because he knows how to manage money. He knows how to anticipate risk. He knows how to react to adversity. The fool rushes headlong and heedlessly into danger and gets himself into a mess. Chapter 14, 15 and 16. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Chapter 17, 18. A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. Chapter 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Chapter 27, verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Wisdom and arguing or anger. The wise man knows when to argue and debate and when to be silent. The wise man knows when to stop arguing. The wise man does not meddle in other people's affairs, and the wise man does not become angry and argumentative, but the fool stirs up trouble wherever he goes, which leads to resentment, anger, and shame. Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. Chapter 25, verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Chapter 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Chapter 26, 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. 29:22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. And chapter 30, verse 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And you could add many other examples. Wisdom in marriage, wisdom in child rearing, wisdom in wine, wisdom in friendships, and a whole host of other topics. Now, Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. By principal thing, Solomon means the first thing, the head of all things, the root of all things, and really the only thing worth getting. Better to have wisdom than anything else in the world. Money is good. We need money to live in this world, but money without wisdom is bad. We need wisdom to know how to use money in a way that glorifies God. We need wisdom in our spending and in our saving and in our giving of money. Without wisdom, our money will do us no good, and it may even do us and others much harm. Relationships are good. It is good, for example, for a Christian to marry. But marriage without wisdom is terrible. We need wisdom to know whom we should marry. We need wisdom to know how to live in marriage or in singleness to the glory of God. Wisdom will make us realistic and prudent in our expectation of marriage. Foolishness will make us idealistic and unreasonable. Our head will be in the clouds and not on the earth, and we will ruin ourselves and others by our folly. Notice the exhortation in verse 7 of Proverbs 4. Get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Short, pithy, poetic exhortation which drives the point home to our heart. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, prioritize wisdom in your life and teach your children by word and example to prioritize wisdom in their lives. Do not prioritize education or success or riches or sporting achievement or musical talent or any other thing in this world. Those things are good. But without wisdom, they will do you no good. Prioritize wisdom, and you will be able to adapt education and success and sporting achievement and musical talent and money and everything else in your life to the great goal of the glory of God. Notice too from verse 7 that the obtaining of and the walking in wisdom is not something natural to us. That's why we need such a pointed, urgent exhortation. And the more something is unnatural to our nature, the more contrary a duty is to us, the more earnest and sharp and pointed must the exhortation be. It also implies that the obtaining of and the walking in wisdom requires our best and most strenuous efforts. Get wisdom. Get it. The word means obtain, acquire, or even buy wisdom. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 2, we are to incline our ear to wisdom. We are to apply our heart to wisdom. We are to seek for and to search for wisdom. This is no half-hearted quest for wisdom. We must put our heart and soul into it. And how few in this world are getting wisdom. They are putting all of their efforts into getting money, enjoying a comfortable lifestyle, a good standard of living, a good career, popularity, or pleasure, but they do not pursue wisdom. And this requires effort. An effort to cast away folly. An effort to deny ourselves. An effort to study and learn. An effort to learn from others. An effort to pray. But it is worth getting. Now, how do we get wisdom? Well, since wisdom is not the same as knowledge, you cannot get wisdom from books alone. Books are good. I always encourage reading of books. But a person can read many theological books and still not have wisdom. I cannot emphasize this enough. Wisdom is the right use, application, and adaptation of knowledge. And so the source of wisdom is God. God, the only wise God, the Son of God who is the wisdom of God, and the Spirit of God who is the Spirit of wisdom. And therefore, we receive wisdom by the grace of God. Every Christian, and that's the good news to us, every Christian is wise. Some are wiser than others. Every Christian has the beginning of wisdom in his or her heart, because every Christian has the grace of regeneration. And when we have the grace of regeneration, we have the image of God restored to us, which is the image of Jesus Christ, part of which image is wisdom. So no Christian may say, I have no wisdom. They might have little wisdom. Their wisdom may not be often on display, but they cannot say they have no wisdom. Every Christian enjoys salvation in the cross of Jesus Christ. Every Christian has regeneration by the Spirit of God, and therefore every Christian is holy. Every Christian is righteous. Every Christian is loving. And every Christian is wise. And when Solomon writes to the people of God in Proverbs, he's writing to God's children who are already wise, but who must grow in wisdom. Get wisdom. Or keep on getting wisdom. Keep on growing in wisdom. Keep learning more about wisdom. Keep practicing wisdom more and more. That's the idea. And God uses means to work wisdom in us. And the first means that God uses is the hearing of the Word of God, especially the preaching of the gospel in a true church of Jesus Christ. When we listen to preaching, we must be seeking two things: to grow in knowledge, an understanding of God's word and of who God is and Jesus Christ and our salvation, and that is very important. And crucially, we must also be seeking to grow in our ability wisely to apply and adapt that truth. A head full of sermons or a head full of theological books with no application will not make us wise. The second means by which God gives wisdom is prayer. We are perplexed. We find ourselves in a situation we don't know what to do. What is the wise course of action for me to take in this particular problem? We must pray. The foolish person doesn't pray because the foolish person doesn't think he's foolish. The foolish person thinks he knows the answer already and jumps to his conclusion and does his own thing. The wise person understands, I don't have all the answers. I will seek wisdom from God. James 1. Well-known words in James 1, verses 5 to 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And the third means by which God gives wisdom is godly counsel. Godly counsel. And Christians who grow up in godly homes are at a tremendous advantage here. They have, or they should have, wise parents and wise grandparents and perhaps wise siblings. And one of the characteristics of the fool in the book of Proverbs is contempt for his parents. He thinks he knows better than his parents. He thinks he knows better than the elders, and therefore he goes astray. And the believer who's a member of a good church ought to be able to seek wisdom from the older and hopefully wiser and more experienced members of the church. Ask them for advice and follow their advice if it is godly counsel. One of the characteristics, as I said, of the fool is disdain for godly advice. Or he pretends to ask for godly advice but has no intention of following it. He simply wants to be affirmed in his own notions, not really to be advised. And I end with this. Wisdom is no man's debtor. The fool, he has many regrets. But the wise man, he enjoys many blessings. And so the book of Proverbs is filled with incentives to be wise. Proverbs 4, 8 and 9. Exalt her, that is wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thee, to thine head, an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom shall promote and exalt you. Not in this world necessarily, but in the world to come. Wisdom will be of great advantage to you in this world also, because it will help you avoid the mistakes of the fool. Wisdom shall be like a crown of grace upon you to beautify you. So the question is, would you have honor? Would you have blessing? Would you avoid misery? Then forsake every foolish way of sin and acquire wisdom and understanding. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And then you will have the spiritual discernment necessary to apply the truth of God's word to every aspect of your life. As Proverbs 3:35 puts it, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. I thank you for your attention.